This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's finally Friday, if that means anything to anyone anymore. It's March 27th. Thank you for joining us. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for the coronavirus. He took to Twitter this morning saying he has mild symptoms and that he is now self-isolating, but will continue to lead the government's response via video conference as we fight this crisis. The UK currently has nearly 12,000 coronavirus cases. New York State is one of the hardest hit by the coronavirus with over 30,000 cases. But one small glimmer of hope is that the Empire State has seen an overwhelming response to its call for a surge healthcare force. The state government asked retired healthcare workers and others who may not be directly working in the industry currently to help as the need for trained medical staff increases daily. And over 40,000 New Yorkers signed up to join. Governor Andrew Cuomo says this is a big, big deal, adding that you can create beds, you can buy equipment, but you have to have the staff. You have to have the staff for those additional beds, which are not now in the hospital system. The CDC is advising public health officials that it is okay to use some expired items, like masks, saying they are still useful. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
As the U.S. faces a shortage of critical supplies, including N95 face masks, there may be help on the way. Well, sort of. ABC News reports the Federal Emergency Management Agency has started shipping much-needed respirators from the federal government's emergency supply. Now, this stockpile includes the much-needed N95 masks. The problem, local officials say, is the Strategic National Stockpile has not been replenished since the outbreak of the H1N1 flu virus in 2009, and many of the masks are expired. So what does that mean? Nate Wardle, a spokesman for the Pennsylvania Department of Health, says the expired masks have a failure rate of 5-10%, meaning they may not be able to maintain a tight fit and allow dangerous particles and droplets to enter. In some cases, the elastic band could disintegrate altogether. But he added, "We are advising all recipients of the masks that the products they are receiving may have a failure rate, but a mask is better than no mask." And a nurse who works at a Washington, D.C. area hospital told ABC News, "Unless it's soiled or covered in sand and dust, I'm not turning anything down. Anything is better than a bandana or scarf in these extraordinary times." For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
But it does look like more masks are popping up every day, bringing some relief to nationwide shortages. Scott Webb has more on that.
Thanks, Caitlin. Some good news on the personal protective equipment front, as 39 million N95 masks have been found, according to the Service Employees International Union, United Healthcare Workers West. They announced Thursday that they found a distributor with the masks, which are cleared for surgical use, and are already making the masks available to state and local governments and healthcare systems across the country. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
The constant stream of COVID-19 news can be a little overwhelming. I know, I talk about it all day long. At this point, we should all know the basics. Wash your hands, stay inside, practice social distancing. But how does this advice change when you are pregnant or trying to get pregnant? Joining me for a discussion on COVID-19 and fertility were Drs. Melina Dial and Maureen Schulte from SIRM St. Louis.
So now that we've covered some basics, let's get into your expertise, fertility and pregnancy. Dr. Dial, does COVID-19 affect fertility at all?
As far as we know, this coronavirus does not have an impact on fertility. You know, if you sort of even extrapolate from some of the other viruses that are out there, whether it's the flu or any of the hepatitis viruses, or frankly, even HIV, none of those have any impact on fertility. But we also, you know, that's with a caveat with the fact that we also know that this is an extremely new virus. But at this point, we actually don't believe that there's any impact on fertility.
And Dr. Schulte, what about pregnancy? Is there any impact of COVID-19 on pregnancy that we know of?
So currently, we have very limited information on the impact of the novel coronavirus in pregnancy. However, we can extrapolate data from other viral syndromes that are related to the novel coronavirus, including SARS, And we know that infection in pregnancy with those viral illnesses may be associated with adverse outcomes, including increased risk of miscarriage, fetal growth restriction, and preterm birth. However, there's no specific data with this novel coronavirus in every trimester of pregnancy. The only published data that we have on coronavirus infection in pregnancy include two case series that total 18 women. And so as this progresses, unfortunately, we are going to learn more. But at this point, we are just trying to warn pregnant women that they could be at increased risk due to the fact that pregnancy is an immunocompromised state. But we have very limited data to make that recommendation to either, you know, halt pregnancy or stop trying to get pregnant at this time.
And what's interesting about those case reports is that they're, as Dr. Schulte was mentioning, is, you know, they're all recent reports. So we only know potentially about exposure in the third trimester. We don't know what happens if they're exposed in the first or second trimester.
Oh, interesting. So I guess that kind of leads me into my next question. Again, I know the answers are few and far between at this point, but Dr. Dayal, could COVID-19 be passed from a pregnant woman to her fetus or her, you know, then newborn?
We still do not know if a woman with COVID-19 can pass the virus that causes COVID-19, so that coronavirus, to her fetus or baby, either during pregnancy or during delivery. You know, again, looking at those specific case series that Dr. Schulte was mentioning, there are no infants that were born to mothers with COVID-19 that have tested positive for the virus. But the problem is that these numbers are very, very small, and so we actually really don't know.
Dr. Schulte, looking at feeding after a newborn is born, can COVID-19 be passed through breast milk?
Currently, the CDC has no specific guidance for breastfeeding during an infection with similar viruses to the novel coronavirus like SARS. However, we know that breastfeeding provides protection against many illnesses. And there are really rare exceptions when breastfeeding or feeding expressed breast milk is not recommended. So we, again, have limited data and we don't know, but at this time we are, you know, feeling that it should be safe. And in limited case series that we do have, the virus was not found in samples of amniotic fluid or breast milk at this time. So we are assuming it's safe.
And Dr. Dayal, we talked about how COVID-19, we're not sure, but we're kind of assuming that it can't be passed from a pregnant woman to her fetus. But say a woman does get COVID-19 during a pregnancy, could there be any effect on the baby?
Preliminary reports suggest that it can. If a woman has COVID-19 and perhaps has a high fever, what we do know about high fevers is that it can increase the chance of miscarriage. And specifically with COVID-19, in these small case reports, there are indications that women can go into preterm labor, which of course can ultimately impact the baby by being born early.
And again, what can people do to prevent the spread of COVID-19, Dr. Schulte? We hear hand washing, we hear social distancing, but just kind of drill it through our heads. What should we be doing?
Yes. So stay inside. And I think that's the biggest message I have. So stay inside and limit exposure, limit exposure, limit exposure. And I think, you know, all of my friends are healthcare workers. Obviously, Dr. Dayal and I are physicians, and we are seeing our patients efficiently and effectively throughout this time. But we have even made a ton of changes in our private practice setting. But, you know, our friends are running the emergency rooms and running labor and delivery, and they are on the front line to protect everyone at home. So the biggest thing that we can do as a country, right, to protect ourselves and our global friends, really, are to stay inside. Okay, social distancing is huge. They're not just telling us to scare us, right? This is actually what needs to be happening right now. And washing your hands for 20 seconds and limiting exposure is the best way to fight this. And as the experts learn and understand about this novel coronavirus, you know, they're going to share data with us, and I'm hoping that more testing will become available sooner than later so people can test and we can know, you know, the number of actual cases that are out there right now.
And wrapping up here, Dr. Dayal, one more question. If I say there's a pregnant woman listening, you mentioned before that just being pregnant in general is kind of an immunocompromised state. What would your advice be to someone listening who might be a little afraid of being pregnant during this time of COVID-19?
Well, overall, you know, the data related to pregnancy and COVID-19 is relatively reassuring. You know, it's not supposed to have a huge detrimental impact on pregnancy, but that data is very, very early. And again, it's based on third trimester exposures. But I would really go with what Mo was saying. I mean, it's important to keep yourself protected, you know, so keep your hands washed frequently. I mean, just wash them as frequently as you possibly can. Again, for that 20 seconds, use a hand sanitizer in between those washes if needed. You know, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Avoid close contact with other individuals who are sick. And, you know, definitely keep that social distancing. I think that is huge. That is really going to be the thing that flattens this curve. And certainly if you're sick, just stay at home. Or if somebody around you is sick, really try to limit your exposure to that individual. And, you know, hopefully with all those measures, it'll decrease the chance of actually getting infected and then having any consequence of that.
You can hear an extended version of that interview and many more with Dr. Dayal and Dr. Schulte on their podcast, All Things Fertility. Find that at stlouisfertilitycenter.com. Well, this has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Thanks for tuning in for this first week of our podcast. If you want to reach out to our team with any questions or comments, shoot us an email at covid19daily@radiomd.com. That's covid19daily@radiomd.com. We're going to try and get some fresh air this weekend and maybe suggest you do too, so you can catch us all Monday afternoon with more updates wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and stay healthy.